The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Crime with Holly. I'm your host, Crime Holly. I hope that you guys have had an amazing week. Before we get into the details of this episode, I just want to say that today's topic is extremely heavy as it involves domestic violence. I want to give a full warning for this case because it talks about heavy, heavy abuse. So if that is a trigger for you, please just skip over this episode. According to the National Domestic Violence Hotline, an average of 24 people per minute are victims of rape, physical violence, or stalking by an intimate partner in the United States. That's more than 12 million women and men over the course of a single year. One in four women and one in seven men will be victims of domestic abuse at some point in their lifetime. Often when we think of domestic violence cases, our minds immediately go to women being the victim. And while that is a lot of the cases we see, what we don't see talked about enough is male victims. Many male victims of intimate partner violence never report the abuse they've endured. The topic of male victims in relationships is not commonly talked about, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't occur. We need to open this discussion because men can be victims too. There are many reasons that men do not report domestic violence. The reasons can range from not recognizing that they're in an abusive relationship. They can be afraid to be ridiculed or accused of being the abuser first. Some can fear that reporting abuse makes them look or seem less masculine. Many probably recognize the abuse as abuse, but love their partner so much that they feel like they can't leave because they've invested so much into the relationship. The list goes on and on. Today's case is a case of domestic violence against a young man. And as I detail the relationship, you will see the gradual build of a pattern happening with his partner. The highs and the lows that is pretty standard for all domestic violence situations. I just want to say that if you are in a relationship where you are being abused, there is hope and resources out there. You do not deserve what is being done to you. Please check the details of this episode for resources. You're not alone and help is available. There is no shame in speaking up and getting help. With all of that said, let's get into the details of today's case. Today's episode is on the murder of Christian Obumsele. Christian Tobichukwu Obumsele was born on April 12, 1994 in Dallas, Texas. It was said that from birth, Christian was this glowing and happy little baby that was so full of personality. Everyone who met Christian fell in love with him, and as he grew older, people really gravitated towards his positive and radiant personality. He had this charismatic and infectious smile that they said lit up the darkest of rooms. No matter what life threw at him, he met it head on with a joyful and positive attitude. Even in the grimmest of situations, Christian could bring hope and light to it. In middle school, Christian found a love for sports, and he really excelled at basketball and football. And when he went to Plano East Senior High School, football became his main focus and passion. He was the star of the team and had worked hard at honing his skills as the middle linebacker. And while Christian was a force to be reckoned with on the field, he was also an incredible mentor to the younger players on the team. He was able to earn himself a football scholarship to Abilene Christian University, and then he would later transfer to Texas Tech University, where he studied engineering. I want to reiterate just how caring and passionate of a person that Christian was. When researching this case, it just kept popping up how much of a gentle and kind soul he was, and just how much he loved people and always wanted the best for everyone. At the time of his murder, Christian was a crypto investor and also got involved with buying and selling stocks, and he did very well at it. He found success at a young age, and between the crypto investing and stocks, Christian was doing very well for himself. In November 2020, Christian would begin a new relationship with a blonde bombshell named Courtney Clenny, or also known on social media as Courtney Taylor. Now, let's talk about Courtney Clenny and who she is. Courtney was born on April 26, 1996 to her parents Deborah and Kim. She grew up with both of her parents and a sister named Morgan. Her family was pretty dang well off, and her father, Kim, worked as a financial advisor making good money. It's been reported that Courtney and Morgan were fairly spoiled growing up and wanted for nothing. Sports were a big part of Courtney's life, and she was very driven, motivated, and thrived in everything that she tried. And she had an impressive list of activities that she maintained through high school, which included things like horseback riding, volleyball, gymnastics, soccer, and more. Courtney had a love for performing and being center stage. She loved the spotlight and the attention on her at all times, so she started taking dance classes and theater classes. From there, she found a true passion in physical fitness and started focusing on weightlifting. In her early adult years, she became a certified personal trainer and went on to win a handful of fitness competitions. Like most young people, Courtney documented a lot of her workouts and training pictures on social media, which gained her a lot of attention, and she rapidly grew a following. This comes as no surprise because, by all accounts, Courtney was absolutely beautiful. She dropped out of college and decided to focus on her career in fitness and social media. In a video that she posted on YouTube titled "The Truth About How I Became Instagram Famous," she describes how she started to grow when certain companies reached out to her for content. She said that she moved to LA and even posed for a Playboy series they did that featured Instagram influencers. She said that really skyrocketed things for her, and then G-Eazy reached out to her about being in a music video, which was filmed at his home, and this really caught people's attention. They wanted to know who the girl was in the video. She ended up becoming so well known and gained over 2 million followers on Instagram. At some point, Courtney decided to try her hand at OnlyFans. And in just 3 years, she had made over $3 million from it. I'm assuming everyone knows what OnlyFans is, but if you're not familiar, OnlyFans is a platform where creators can post whatever kind of content they want and subscribers can pay to view it. Usually it's videos and pictures. And for the most part, from all that I have ever seen, this style of content is typically nude or risque videos and images. And by the content that I saw that she posted on platforms like Instagram, I feel like it's safe to assume that she was posting on OnlyFans just with a little less clothing. but I could be wrong here. That's just an assumption. But she made a killing off of OnlyFans. In the year 2020, on just OnlyFans alone, not including her other social media income, she made over $1 million. And the following year of 2021, she made nearly $2 million, again, just on OnlyFans, which is absolutely wild. Courtney literally had it all. She had the money, the good looks, the fame, and in November 2020, she met Christian Obomsele. Meeting him was like the cherry on top of her picture-perfect life. Christian, with his charming smile and good physical physique, fit in perfectly with her lifestyle and content creating. They looked like the couple that had it all together, and their love happened hard and fast. But a few months into the relationship, people who were closest to Christian started to see the shift in his behavior. The normally vibrant and happy Christian started to seem more stressed, distant with his friends and loved ones, and just overall, he wasn't his normal self. What we know now is that during this time, Courtney was becoming more and more controlling. She was a very jealous person and liked to have her eyes on everything he did. She didn't want him doing things without her or hanging out with people he had been friends with for years. And often their disagreements would escalate to her screaming at him violently. Eventually, this screaming turned into Courtney striking Christian in the chest and arms with her fist and would only progressively get worse. As the relationship went on, Christian eventually was hired to be Courtney's personal assistant, so they were spending more time together than ever. On top of waiting on Courtney hand and foot, he also got to travel with her for all of her business trips for photo shoots and content creation. And while this was something he enjoyed doing, this meant that he and Courtney never got a break from each other, which only proved to be even more toxic for the couple. Leading up to all of this, Courtney was really starting to increase her drinking and was beginning to depend on alcohol to get her through her day. Alcohol abuse paired with her temper did not bode well for her and only escalated her behaviors, leaving Christian to take the brunt of her outbursts, including an incident that happened in Las Vegas after a night of drinking in July of 2021. It is unclear who exactly called the police. It was said that Christian called them, and then it was also reported that Courtney had called them. But ultimately, they were being loud and fighting, and in the body cam footage I have seen from the Las Vegas Metro Police Department, the hotel room that they were staying in at the Cosmopolitan was a complete mess. A chair was flipped over, things were thrown all over the place, and Courtney even admitted to the police that she threw a glass at Christian during their fight. And she even admitted that she would throw plates and glasses at Christian sometimes during other arguments back at home. The police arrested Courtney for domestic battery and explained to her that in the state of Nevada, because they were in an intimate partner relationship, this was considered abuse. Now, according to Christian, he said that the argument was because they were in Vegas and all they had been doing was drinking like crazy and sleeping. They missed a dinner reservation because Courtney was sleeping, and overall, he was disappointed that they didn't get to do the full Las Vegas experience. So because of that, he was upset and went to sleep on the couch. Courtney tried to get him to come to bed, and he refused, and that is when she got upset and began screaming at him and eventually throwing the glass at his face. He told police that he didn't want her to be in trouble, he loved her so much, and he didn't want to press charges. Ultimately, though, she was arrested, and after being held for most of the day, she was finally released. This, however, was not the first time that Courtney had been arrested, and she had two prior DUI arrests on her record. But in all three of these arrests, alcohol was always a factor. In January 2022, Courtney and Christian picked up their lives in Austin, Texas, to move to South Florida. They settled into a lavish three-bedroom, three-bath apartment located near downtown Miami that Courtney was funding with her OnlyFans and social media career. They were excited for the new adventure and looked forward to all that Miami had to offer, including a fancy lifestyle, beautiful beaches, as well as a thriving nightlife. Now, when I say this apartment was lavish, I mean it. It was absolutely beautiful. It had a great view, and it cost her over $10,000 a month in rent. Now, because Courtney was paying for the apartment herself, she would often hold this over Christian's head and make threats that she was going to kick him out. And according to the National Network to End Domestic Violence, financial abuse is a common tactic that is used by abusers to gain power and control in a relationship. Seems like Courtney used her finances to manipulate Christian into doing exactly what she wanted, and if he didn't, she would threaten to kick him out, leaving him with no place to live. If we thought that this new and fresh start for Christian and Courtney was going to be a good thing, it absolutely was not. Her status gained them access into crazy nightclubs that continue to supply her alcohol addiction. And what is crazy to me is that Courtney recognized her behaviors as being bad. She openly discussed on a podcast that she was toxic, controlling, didn't like to be told what to do, and even bragged about how she only dated rich black dudes. And while she recognized these behaviors, she did nothing to change them and instead laughed about it like it was cute. And as the more time went on, the more out of control Courtney became. The arguments and fights continued, her abusive behavior intensified, and during one fight, Courtney completely trashed the entire apartment. She told Christian they were over and he needed to leave, and then she proceeded to throw all of his belongings over the balcony of their high-rise apartment. Of course, the separation didn't last long, and in true abuser fashion, she would then apologize profusely for her actions and shower him in love and gifts. But it wasn't even a month later, and Courtney was back to physically assaulting Christian. There is surveillance footage from an elevator at their apartment that caught one of her outbursts on February 21st, 2022. If you've followed this case at all, you've probably seen the video I am referring to. I will have a YouTube link in the description of this episode, but pretty much you can see Courtney walking into the elevator first and aggressively trying to push buttons. And then you can see her slamming her fist on the elevator control screen when Christian then walks in. The moment he walks into the elevator, he reaches over to press buttons on the control screen, and she starts hitting him in the arms and the chest, while he just stood there putting up his arms in defense. At one point, she reaches up to pull on his hair and punch him in the face. Through all of this, Christian, who outweighs Courtney and is probably over double her size, just puts his arms up in self-defense. Not once does he strike her out of anger back. He just keeps pushing her away every time she tries to throw blows at him. The video is so disturbing to watch, but gives you just a brief glimpse at how Courtney behaved when they would fight. And Courtney wasn't just physical when they would fight. She would be verbally abusive too, often resorting to calling Christian the N-word, despite him pleading with her to stop and telling her that he didn't like it. However, Christian loved Courtney, and though she did all of these awful things, he just kept going back. And again, this isn't uncommon for victims of abuse. Abusers can be so manipulative and say all the right things just to draw you back in again. Time and time again, Christian tried to show Courtney how much he loved her, in hopes that she would change. He wrote her love letters telling her that he loved her and that he wanted to be everything for her, her boyfriend, her best friend, and her lifelong partner. He wrote about how he would put his life on the line for her. Some text messages would later be uncovered while investigating this case, but I just want to add this bit in here because it just goes to show the depth of Christian's love for Courtney and just how awful she was to him. I'm going to read a text message that Christian sent to Courtney on October 9th, 2021, when they were still living in Austin, Texas. This text message was sent after Courtney had stabbed, yes, you heard that right, she stabbed Christian in the leg. It reads, quote, "The crazy thing about all of this is that yesterday when you stabbed me in the leg and you saw how bad it was hurting me and I couldn't walk, I couldn't do anything, you were telling me I wish I could take your pain away. I wish it was me and not you. The next morning, I still woke up happy. I still gave you a good day, even though my leg was hurting because my girlfriend stabbed me. So you're telling me you can't do the same thing the next day and say whatever happened last night, today's a new day, because that's what I do for you. I woke up happy. I took you to Vegas, drove you right back, helped you shoot, drank with you, did blow with you, just so you're having a great day. And I'm doing all of this while my leg hurts so effing bad. Did I make you feel like shit for stabbing me? No, I just sucked it up and hoped tomorrow would be better." End quote. On October 10th, 2021, he sent a message after being kicked out of their home that said, "Courtney, can you let me in? You hit me in the face with a phone, then continued to hit the back of my head with the phone. Now I have a lump. I'm bleeding, throwing up. I think I got a mild concussion and have anxiety. I slept in the restroom for 2 hours, and I'm just beyond words. All I hope for is a better tomorrow. You can let me in or not. I apologize before you said you were kicking me out, and you spit on me. No matter how mad and tough it gets, you don't treat the one you love that way." End quote. Courtney then replied back, quote, "Well, I'm sorry. I hope you're okay. I'm sorry for hitting you in the face and the back of your head and spitting on you. Is it right? No. You just pissed me the F off, but still, I love you." End quote. In a text message that was sent in November 2022, and I'm not going to read the full message because it's a long one, but I will highlight the important things. Christian wrote to Courtney, quote, "Is love going to kill me? Like, I honestly feel like shit. My face feels effed up, the front and back. I always feel like, damn man, okay, Christian, you took all this. Why? Because you love her. Okay, time after time after time, I tell you, hey, please, like you're hurting me. And yes, you'll say yeah, but then it just repeats. Like, what if the knife sliced my lip and it wasn't sliced by my beard? My cheek, my eye. What might happen next time? I pray there is no next time like that. February was the worst month I had so far. I got cheated on. I got called that word again. I got slapped in my stitches that has reopened multiple times and it's not healing fast enough. I'm honestly trying to just have a couple things off my chest before therapy." End quote. And just to clarify, him talking about being cut on his face, that was another incident that happened that Christian had to go to the hospital to get stitches for. Courtney had sent him a text after cutting him in two places, saying that she hopes he has fun at the hospital and wrote, quote, "Tell them your side and I'll tell them what happened," end quote. And he replied with, "I'm not saying anything, I'ma say a football incident." Clearly, their relationship was a toxic and tumultuous one, and through the years, the pair would break up and get back together again. After moving in together, their patterns of an on-again, off-again continued, and Courtney tried to kick him out of the apartment on more than one occasion. Because he had been living there for months, she legally could not force him to leave. But this didn't stop the cops from being called, which was increasingly becoming a common occurrence for the two. At the end of March 2022, the couple were broken up once again, and instead of sleeping in the room with Courtney, Christian was sleeping on this small couch in a room that is referred to as the elevator room. This room is just a small room that leads to their apartment and is where the elevator for their apartment opens up. It's a teeny room, like I said. But on April 2nd, the police were called by a front desk clerk at their apartment after they witnessed, once more, a heated argument between Christian and Courtney. Let me just say real quick that this had allegedly been like the 12th time that the police had been called for one reason or another since Courtney and Christian moved to this apartment complex. What happened this time, though, was apparently Courtney and Christian got into a fight. There was shoving and screaming and so on and so forth. And so the front desk clerk said that he was calling the police. Now, Courtney didn't want the police to be called and begged the man not to call, but he did it anyway. As soon as they showed up, though, she was singing a completely different song, saying that she wanted a restraining order against Christian, to which the police replied that she has to go to the court to have that handled and that they could not issue a restraining order for her. In the video that I have seen of this, she was acting very wild. She was demanding that she needed a restraining order now before Christian was able to file one for himself. Honestly, the way that she was acting was very deranged, and she was making claims that Christian had been stalking her. The police reminded her that they could not kick him out because he lives there, and by law, he had just as much right to be in the apartment as she did. So eventually, everyone calms down, the police leave, and it's unknown exactly what happened after Courtney and Christian went back to their apartment. But what is known is that hours after this confrontation, things between Courtney and Christian are mended once again, and they're back together. But not even 24 hours later, the police would be back at their doorstep after a frantic 911 call from Courtney.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Just before 5 p.m. on April 3rd, 2022, the Miami-Dade Police Department received a frantic 911 call from a woman who claimed that her boyfriend was dying from a stab wound. She was absolutely frantic, screaming and crying, begging for her 27-year-old boyfriend to be okay. In the background, you could hear Christian Obomselli coming to the realization that he's going to die. I'm going to play the 911 call for you guys, but I will warn you that it is a little hard to understand because there's just so much going on. It's overwhelming to listen to because she's frantic, the dog is barking, and the 911 dispatcher is trying to get information. But if you listen close enough, you should be able to pick up on Christian's words. After I play the clip for you guys, I will recap everything in case you missed anything that was said.
Operator, don't Ma'am, listen to me. You need to stop screaming on the line and give me the address.
3101.
I'm gonna die. I can't feel my arm.
3101.
I can't feel my arm.
Ma'am, what is the address?
So in the clip, we can hear the dispatcher asking for the address of the emergency. The dog is barking in the background, obviously distressed about whatever was going on inside the home. And you can hear Christian say, "I'm gonna die." He repeats himself multiple times. Then he says, "I'm going to die. I can't feel my arms. I can't feel my arms." All the while, Courtney is stumbling trying to get the address for their apartment out of her mouth. The dispatcher asked again for the address, and this is when Courtney asked Christian, "Baby, what is our address?" You can hear Christian as he is literally bleeding out on the floor, giving the address clearly. Courtney says, "Please God, come save my boyfriend," and begins crying and saying things that can't quite be made out. But clear as day, you can hear Courtney say, "Baby, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." Once again, Christian says, "I'm dying." Courtney tells the operator that he has a stab wound to his shoulder. Not long after she says this, it seems like maybe she put the phone down because she sounds a bit further away, where we can still hear her screaming and screaming, begging God to save him. When police and EMS arrived on scene, they found Christian lying in Courtney's arms, sprawled out on the floor of their luxury apartment, bleeding excessively from a single stab wound to the chest. Courtney was literally covered from head to toe and even across her face in Christian's blood. They separated her from Christian, and she's demanding that she needed to see him, demanding to know if he's doing okay, screaming that he's her other half. He's like her husband, and she needs to know that he's going to be okay. When assessing the scene, they found blood literally all over the apartment. Christian was rushed to the hospital, but unfortunately, he died shortly after arriving. There was nothing that they could do to save him. Back at the apartment, Courtney, who had been handcuffed immediately after the police arrived, was placed outside of the apartment where she waited, covered in blood, for whatever was to come next. When a detective arrived on scene, he instructed the officers to take Courtney to the police station for questioning. Before leaving, she asked the police if she could say goodbye to her dogs, where she awkwardly kissed them and told them that she would be right back through her tears. Once she arrived at the police station, Courtney had composed herself once more and made some remarks that I felt were extremely inappropriate. The moment she walked into the police station, Courtney makes a comment about it looking like the Dexter office. She's making jokes about how the setting of the popular show Dexter was supposed to be at the Miami Police Department. Officers didn't think that was very funny, and they just escorted her into an interrogation room, where she sat alone in this room for 15 minutes where she cried and was talking to herself. She kept asking God not to take Christian away from her and begging him to allow Christian to be okay. When the detectives came in for questioning, Courtney willingly spoke to them without an attorney present and told them that she and Christian got into an argument after getting back together and that it had got heated and she got scared. She told the police that she thinks that she just overreacted over the whole thing and that led to Christian being hurt. As the detectives probed deeper, she started coming out with the story that he was the aggressor. She said that at one point, Christian was choking her against the wall. Another point, she was wrestled down to the ground where he was on top of her. And then she also claimed that he eventually let her go. According to Courtney, the argument wasn't over, and he was still being aggressive towards her. She said that she was scared and that he started to come towards her once again while she stood in the kitchen, and that is when she allegedly grabbed a knife and threw it at him. It is important to note here that during her interview and when she was photographed afterwards, Courtney had no visible injuries or markings that would be consistent with her claims. The officer asked her to explain how exactly she threw the knife at him, and she started to try and show with her hands what she did. She claims that she threw it at him overhand. She then said, quote, "I for dang sure did not stab him. That would be insane," end quote. Courtney also said that after she threw the knife at Christian, he immediately fell to the ground. The investigators asked her multiple times if Christian had walked around at all after the knife had penetrated, and she said, no, he just fell. But if you remember what I said earlier about the scene, there was drops of blood all over the apartment, which led investigators to believe that she was lying. Now, according to Courtney, she didn't know what to do about Christian, so she called her mom asking what to do before calling 911. It is reported in a CBS News article that Courtney had called her mom at 4:33 p.m. and spoke to her on the phone for 6 minutes before hanging up. She then called her back at 4:49 p.m. and talked on the phone for 7 minutes. It wasn't until 4:57 p.m. that Courtney called 911 asking for EMS to help save her boyfriend. Those were crucial, crucial minutes she wasted before calling 911 that could have potentially saved Christian's life. About 3.5 hours after arriving at the police station, Courtney was informed that Christian did not make it and that he died shortly after arriving at the hospital. When Courtney's family heard the news about what had happened, her mom rushed to Florida to be with her. That night, police did not arrest Courtney and they let her go. And while you guys are probably wondering why the hell not, let me remind you that a lot of what I've already told you about their violent and toxic relationship was not known yet to the police. And boy, let me tell you that they would uncover even more damning evidence, which we will get into in just a moment. The death of Christian was devastating for all who knew and loved him. But I have to say, it's even more heartbreaking to hear how his family found out of his passing. The medical examiner was the one to reach out to Christian's family, and he wasn't reaching out to notify them that he had passed. But instead, he was calling to get their permission to donate his organs. Just imagine being in their shoes for a minute. They didn't get a courtesy knock on the door at their home in Texas. They didn't get a phone call from a sympathetic police officer or investigator. They got a call from the medical examiner, and he just wanted to know about the organs. To even try to begin to fathom their emotions is truly just beyond me. Like, I can't even comprehend what that must have felt like. They didn't even have a moment's breath to grieve this awful and devastating news. They were just immediately asked about his organs. My heart completely goes out to them because I just couldn't imagine. So after her release, Courtney was voluntarily admitted into a psychiatric hospital where she spent a few days before going back to Dallas, Texas to live with her parents. Courtney also purchased a very lavish home that was just over 3,000 square feet with a pool and a hot tub for over $1.3 million. She also transferred $1.2 million into her father's bank account, which he claims was for safekeeping since Courtney was mentally unwell. Despite everything that Courtney was going through, she didn't stay away from alcohol and drugs, and once in Texas, she started back up all over again. She was seen inside a bar with her father where people started recording her, telling her to leave and that she murdered her boyfriend. She also had a run-in with two teenage boys while drunk, trying to get home to her parents' house in Texas, just 2 months after Christian's death. Courtney had approached two young men asking them to help her to get home because she was so drunk that she didn't know where she was going. They agreed to walk her home, and that is when she started trying to kiss and make sexual advances towards one of the young men. He told her no, she was drunk, and he wasn't wanting to do anything with her, which this only upset Courtney further. The young man texted his dad, who ended up showing up wherever they were, and the police were called. Now, of course, Courtney claimed none of this was true, and her story was very different than the one that the two young men had given the police. No charges were filed, and things were just kind of settled right then and there, and they all went their own way. But it was after this run-in with the law that Courtney checked herself in to an inpatient treatment program located in Hawaii for substance abuse and post-traumatic stress. It was there, 4 months after Christian's murder, on August 10th, 2022, that a SWAT team came into the facility and arrested Courtney in Hawaii for the murder of 27-year-old Christian Obumseli. She was charged with second-degree murder. During their 4 month investigation, the police not only uncovered all of those text messages I had mentioned earlier, and even more than just that, but they also found on Christian's phone several video and audio recordings of their fights. Many of them physical, where Courtney is clearly the aggressor, hitting Christian repeatedly, calling him degrading and nasty things. They uncovered a video of her screaming at him at the top of her lungs because he had said hi to another woman when she wasn't around, and they found so much more. In many of these recordings, Courtney can also be heard saying that she wants to effing kill him. And surprisingly, on Courtney's phone, they found what is almost like a diary that she had been keeping in her notes app. On August 28th, 2021, she titled an entry, "Words Hurt," and wrote, quote, "Stop putting your hands on him out of anger. It releases tension but has long-lasting effects on his self-esteem. Looking in the mirror and is not acceptable in any relationship in general," end quote. In another note, she wrote, "He hates me for hitting him, thinks my alcohol abuse is pathetic, and I don't have as many friends as he does." She also makes references in these notes about spitting on him and calling him names. Of course, the authorities also gained access to that horrific elevator video I mentioned at the beginning of this episode. It seems like they have loads and loads of damning evidence against Courtney, but she has remained steadfast that she acted in self-defense and that it was Christian who was abusive towards her. It also has been uncovered that Courtney had allegedly been abusive to an ex-boyfriend. According to MuscleInsider.com, Courtney had been violent towards her ex-boyfriend named Sean Roden, who was a well-known bodybuilder. But he never reported this violence because he was still married and was having an affair with Courtney when it happened. Unfortunately, Sean died in November 2021, so he couldn't be questioned about his relationship with her. But it was known to many that Courtney had allegedly broken his jaw. Now, I will say that there wasn't any real credible information on this assault and the claims that she broke his jaw, and because Sean is no longer alive, we can only take this with a grain of salt. One of the biggest things that prosecutors say proves that Courtney did not act in self-defense was the findings from the medical examiner. The medical examiner found that when the knife was plunged into Christian's left pectoral muscle, it had severed a subclavian artery, which lies just below the clavicle bone. Ironically, the knife was stabbed just above a tattoo of Courtney's name. According to the medical examiner, this injury could not have been inflicted by Courtney throwing a knife at Christian from 10 feet away, like she claimed, but instead was deliberately thrusted into his chest, penetrating over 3 inches deep, severing that artery, causing him to bleed out. According to NBC Miami, on January 20th, 2024, nearly 2 years after the death of Christian, Courtney's parents were shockingly arrested for felony charges of unauthorized access to a computer or electronic device. They were accused of accessing Christian's laptop after his death in an attempt to hide evidence. Through their investigation, authorities gained access of Courtney's cell phone, where they uncovered a group chat with Courtney's parents and her attorney, where they discussed Christian's laptop and how to access it, including guessing passwords, which eventually they did. But Florida law says that accessing a person's computer without their permission or the permission of their estate, if they are deceased, is illegal. They, of course, posted bail and were released, and unfortunately, 5 months later, the charges against them were dropped. Now, Courtney, as I said, has maintained her innocence and said that it was self-defense and is currently awaiting her trial. She has been denied bond despite her attorneys fighting to get her released. In October of last year, during a bond hearing, the defense showed the court a video of an expert knife thrower throwing knives at a pig carcass in an attempt to prove that Courtney acted in self-defense. The defense argument was that it was plausible and likely that Courtney had thrown the knife at Christian in self-defense. The knife thrower in the video throws multiple knives at the pig carcass that was identical to the one that killed Christian. While some of the knives bounced off, several successfully stuck. Scripps News reported that prosecutors came back pointing out all of the flaws in the defense's experiment, including the size and body type of the knife thrower. The knife thrower was a large man, while Courtney was a petite woman. They also argued that the distance that the man was standing was roughly 5 to 6 feet away from the pig, but Courtney had told authorities that she had been 10 feet away from Christian. The judge ruled in favor of the prosecution and denied Courtney bond. There is a ton of back and forth with legal stuff currently because of that controversial evidence that involved Courtney's parents accessing Christian's laptop. Fox 7 Austin reports that prosecutors say that they obtained that evidence lawfully, while the defense argues that the evidence is under attorney-client privilege and should not be made public. The decision on this was postponed until after the new year. However, today is January 18th, and there are no new updates posted since December 23rd. There also is no pending trial date that has been posted yet, which, of course, I will be watching for like a hawk. I just want to add here, if it's not already noted, that Courtney is innocent until proven guilty by a court of law. Though the amount of evidence does not look good for her, you never know what the defense team can come up with. Courtney claims that she was a victim herself of domestic violence, that she acted in self-defense, that he was abusive towards her, and maybe she's just claiming that all of these videos and whatever else is just her acting out back to him. I don't really know, but you never know what the defense is going to do. What is apparent, though, is the extremely toxic relationship that Christian and Courtney were in. And what I didn't add are the audio clips of Courtney's outbursts and fights with Christian. They are absolutely horrific to hear, how he was treated, the way she was screaming, the whole nine yards. In the description of this episode, I will have links to some of these if you guys want to check it out, as well as the body cam footage from the first responders when they arrived on scene. Let me just say here that viewer discretion is advised because, one, the body cam footage from the scene is very graphic. You can see Courtney completely covered in blood. The other videos and audio of her screaming and hitting Christian obviously is very disturbing to watch. So again, viewer discretion is advised. I want to just briefly mention that a lot of people talk about and wonder why Christian didn't leave and why he stayed in such a toxic relationship. And while he isn't here to speak for himself, many who knew him believed that he feared that all of this would somehow fall back on him as being the abuser. It is so easy to forget that men can be victims of such horrific abuse. Christian is deeply missed by his friends and family, and they have vowed to keep fighting for justice. Court TV has heavily covered this case, and I would assume when the trial finally gets underway, they will be covering it live as well. When that happens, I will be watching for any and all updates to give you guys. In the meantime, though, make sure that you're in my private Facebook group. You can find it by searching Crime with Holly Podcast Discussion Group. In there, I share all information and pictures pertaining to the cases that I cover, and I also encourage all members to share all things true crime. If I see any updates on this case, which there should be something in the very near future, I would assume, I will be sure to share it there in the group. You can also follow me over on Instagram at CrimeAHolly. And lastly, I just want to remind you guys that I will have resources and information on domestic violence in the description of this episode. If you or anyone you know is a victim of domestic violence, you can contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233 or text the word BEGIN, BEGIN, to 88788. Please know that you are not alone and you do not deserve to be hurt. That is all for this week's episode, Crimesters. Until next time, be aware and take care. Bye-bye.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.